hear the motor humming, but that thing is still spinning.
He's talking about fans, but you're back in the DFSR, and we are here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, August 1st. I'm Doug Norrie. Talking about fans is...
James Davis, but why did you start the podcast when we were in the middle of a different conversation?
Because I thought you were done.
That's pretty bizarre. We're in the middle of a... Just to set the stage for you listeners at home, Doug brings up fans, specifically brings this up, and the little chain that you have to pull to figure out what level they're on. And so I'm literally just responding to his thing, and then all of a sudden I'm the fan guy who just can't stop talking about fans.
Guy just can't stop talking about fans, even though we've clearly started recording on the podcast.
That's going to be a funny way to start the podcast open in the future. Just start it, because just for the listeners at home, we usually talk about total nonsense for 20 minutes before we actually get started. And that was true again today. So here we are.
Yeah, from now on, I think I'll just bring up some random topic, have you start talking, and then just hit record, and then at the end of it, just say you're back in the DFSR. I kind of like that.
Just make sure it's an on-brand topic, because sometimes, things get a little off-brand before the show starts.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, it's always a dicey move. All right, we're from DFSR.com. You can head over to the site, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You're all good to go. But there's a lot to talk about here with baseball today. We always get a little started later on Tuesdays because you and I haven't talked for most of the weekend, and then we come back, have to do 4 days worth of catch up about every single thing that's happened in our lives during that time.
Game of Thrones, Bitcoin,
Bitcoin, the bicycle bar crawl that I went on this weekend, which I didn't even get to, which I have a couple stories from that again is going to be off brand and can't tell on the air here, not involving me, involving other people that kind of weren't getting the tone of the "we're all old and we're riding bikes around," but there's always
amateur hour on the bicycle bar crawl. That's surprising to hear that, actually. Well, that event has a reputation for
it was completely pro level. It was pro level for 90% of us that were just have kids and just had places to go when it was over. But then when there's the one or two guys that just don't have that place to go and it's just kind of on, So, and he took it to a couple new levels, which I really appreciated. All right, today, the story for today is for baseball at least. Is the pitching. So I'm going to roll down this list here real quick. These are all the guys I'm considering playing, and then you can give your list at the end. All right. Okay, so we have ace level guys, Scherzer and Sale. Next level, I would say, is Archer, Lester, Seamart, or Carlos Martinez, Samardzija, I guess Nola. Next level down from them is Carrasco, Maeda, I guess Jimmy Nelson, Mike Fiers, Jose Berrios, Jameson Taillon. And then you got the guys that every once in a while can turn into a good game, Bundy, Patrick Corbin, CeCe. That's a lot of guys. I mean, that's way more than half of the overall pitching. Is this the best day of pitching that you think you've seen all season?
No, that sounds like hyperbole. So I'm just going to go ahead and say no. A couple notable omissions there, I think, actually, Doug. Well, not the guys that you're actually going to play, like Kenta Maeda on DraftKings. I don't think you said Kenta Maeda, but he's up against Atlanta, reasonable matchup. And then I'm curious about Mike Pelfrey here. So I don't know if you noticed his price on FanDuel, but I noticed it because he's coming in at the highest points per dollar player on FanDuel for us right now. Mike Pelfrey currently costs $3,000 to roster on FanDuel. So I'm just curious.
Feels high.
But I'm just curious if there's someone in the FanDuel offices, because doesn't this seem like a spite price to you? Nobody's going to play this guy anyway. So is there someone in the FanDuel offices who's just a diehard White Sox fan, and they're like, I cannot believe this guy's going to chew up another 200 innings this season, just absolutely sabotaging my team's chances at competing. I just have to start spreading a little more buzz about how terrible this guy is, so I'm going to make him cheaper than Didi Gregorius. I just don't know. I don't know. It's just comically low price to me. So anyway, that just made me laugh.
I wonder one thing. So, a lot of these things are automated, right? So I wonder if you hit some point of you've pitched enough innings of being so bad that the algorithm just kind of does just shoot you low. I mean, every once in a while, it's just a mistake. I don't think people make these prices by hand, obviously, but
I think sometimes they do. I think that I think we've seen examples. Well, we definitely have seen examples of manual overrides, right? On the July 4th, people facing Clayton Kershaw's prices were $17.76 and stuff like that.
That's a good point. Yeah, I forgot that they sometimes do that, and then jokey kind of thing. I mean, I just locked in Pelfrey real quick in our projections just to see how much, if any money would be left over.
How do the lineups look?
It looks like all Colorado. It's all cores basically. I mean, you are able to fill out your salary enough. It gets to $34,800. So it's not you're gonna leave money on the table with that loser. All right, let's talk about good pitchers. We'll get to him when we talk about stacks. It's hard to know where to start here because there's so many good guys. We're going to have to choose a couple of them, at least to start, in terms of who we feel or would feel safest running out there in cash games. Let's start with just the top tier, the Scherzer sale tier, because that's the, you know, 11,000 and above, and they're even more on DraftKings, so like 13 grand or something like that. Yeah, 13,000 and 13,200. Between those two guys, where do you think, you know, do you like Scherzer's matchup here a little bit better against Miami's? I mean, Sale's been excellent too. Picking between those two guys, which one would you do?
Well, I guess I would lean Scherzer here. And I think it's primarily just because of the matchup. You know, both pitchers are excellent. Probably don't need to give you the peripheral rundown, but both have been just dynamite level one aces, like, you know, no concerns whatsoever. That being said, Sale's money line is coming in a little bit lower, or sorry, the total is coming in lower for him. So Vegas actually thinks he's going to outperform. But what do you make of that? Because the Indians have been pretty good against left-handed pitching this season.
I have like
16% K rate against lefties in a 333 WOBA.
Well, I have right now, I have the money line for Sale at -155 and Washington at -206. So it does favor him. It does favor Scherzer here by, you know, enough. And then
the implied runs are lower?
The implied runs are about equal, I think.
I just haven't updated because they're a little bit lower for the Indians.
Okay, yeah, they're about equal. Like right in that 3.3, 3.4 range that we have them. Like the line on Sale just came down a little bit the over under came down to 7.5. Now, I think I'm with you. I'd go Scherzer here. Just it's a National League game. Money line a little bit better. Marlins don't K a ton, but the bottom of that lineup is pretty rough. Like, especially just even getting the pitcher slot almost makes the difference. Like, the difference between getting, yeah, well, it's a catcher for the Indians in this case. But, like, the top of that Indians lineup is just significantly better outside of Stanton, I would say, than the Marlins. I think I'm with you on Scherzer. I think, I don't know if we're going to end up paying all the way up for him here. It's a real stretch to pay for him on draft. Like, with a night with this many good pitching, I just don't know why you would pay 13,000 plus on DraftKings for these guys. I'm not even sure you want to go all the way up to their over 11,000 price on FanDuel, just considering, like, those guys need to be so much better, I think, than the rest of the group, and that this is a group that it's going to be hard to outperform. Like, it's going to be hard to outperform the field, I would say, just considering the rest of the names.
Yeah, that's potentially true. I don't know. It's awfully close for me because the other names are good, but, like, if you're just rolling in on a full slate, aren't you going to feel so much safer? And feelings aren't obviously how we should decide these things normally, but aren't you going to feel so much safer with Scherzer or Sale on top of your lineup rather than, you know, say, John Lester against Arizona?
I would feel better, and then I would just need to know what I was getting. I mean, it's going to make – the difference is going to be how much I feel better is going to be made on, like, I guess, where the bats come in, because okay, there are some teams in good spots here. They're not necessarily cheap. This is just allocating a lot of money. And look, when it's a day where it's like Scherzer, Lester, and then a bunch of bums, like, then I'm like, okay, then it's a closer decision, and I would feel much better about Scherzer. Except the fact is that you're just, like, not comparing him against that one other guy. There's just, like, 10 other guys that are in pretty good spots here, and that have all been pretty good, and that's actually the thing that I'm probably going to wrestle with the most.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. Like, the guy I'm looking at, actually, is John Lester here tonight. Lester this season, you know, kind of had some really excellent starts recently and sprinkled in one dud in his last start against the White Sox. But going up against the Diamondbacks is actually kind of a good spot for him. The Diamondbacks this season have been had a notoriously huge split this season between their performance against righties and lefties. Against the lefties, they've been basically the worst, or at least a bottom two team against left-handed pitching, both in terms of their bottom five WOBA and their top four strikeout rate. So it is a tremendous spot for some significant upside here. But just looking at some of the names, like, I just hate when I'm going to pick a pitcher and I'm going to have them going up against, like, Paul Goldschmidt. It just doesn't feel awesome. But Lester's cheap and has that, you know, double-digit K per nine upside. And, yeah, that 2,000 savings is particularly meaningful when you got Coors bats and so on.
He has a nice money line. There's no over-under on the game yet. I have it set at 8 right now. If it were to come in higher, I would like Lester, and our system would like it less. Like, if the implied runs for Arizona climbed into, like, I don't know. So right now, they're probably right around 4. If it was a decent amount higher than that, because, like, the wind is blowing out in Chicago or something like that, that's something that I could definitely see changing when we get a little bit more information. I'm with you. Diamondbacks do get better in the middle of the lineup with JD Martinez there, like, just as compared to, like, their overall season numbers. Like, he's a significant upgrade over basically whoever else. That was, like, one of the biggest problems they were having was, like, that middle of the lineup pop, especially from that side of the plate. Like, so now they can go Goldschmidt, Lamb, and then JD Martinez, which is way better than, like, Goldschmidt, Lamb, and Chris Owings, or whoever they were batting in that fifth spot before. So that's one concern I have there for Lester. I'm with you. I don't mind the spot for him. I don't love it. And this actually might, we might just be able to make enough cases against all these middle tier guys or like upper middle tier guys that it ends up being, you know, kind of more of a Scherzer sale debate than I thought it was going to be. But other guys in good spots here. I don't mind Samardzija against Oakland. I know people are going to go crazy and say, why Samardzija again here? Like, because we just kind of been on him all season. He's been a guy that's been really unlucky. He's just still been very good. And his thing is, he's still priced like he's been a bad pitcher, and he just hasn't been. He's been bad in the wins and loss department, and he's been borderline bad in the ERA, though that's started to come down just a little bit.
Well, he's had some colossal and notable blowups, like particularly back-to-back games against the Padres, where he was very terrible just in all regards, are going to give people a little bit of pause. But yeah, bouncing back against Pittsburgh last time out, 8 Ks, 2 walks and 7 innings, just the 1 earned run. I think you just have to take Samardzija's peripherals at face value and recognize too that there is some aspect of his game that is leading to these very polarized outcomes.
Yeah, and he's, now this should be said that this, I'm not probably speaking as much for cash games as possible as I should be, because like, he is an underdog here, and that's really a rough spot to be in for safety, so I wouldn't take him for safety. But these kind of arms, like these guys that have huge, like pretty big upside, that are, and they're way underpriced, and he's an example of that, that makes me like want to not be fully, let's say this, I don't want to be have full exposure to that very top of the tier here, because I just think that there's guys that can just run into really, really good games. Who else on that list kind of jumps out to you? So we covered Lester, Samardzija a little bit here. Any other guy think that like looks like they're just like in a pretty good spot?
Well, I guess I'm looking at Carlos Martinez on DraftKings, because I agree with you there. It's going to be very tough to register one of those really expensive pitchers. And if you're going to go kind of to the next tier, I don't mind grabbing Martinez against the Brewers. The Brewers this season have just been one of the striking outest teams. That's a trademark. No,
that works.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah, hashtag pro term right there. Yeah, you got it.
They've struck out a ton this season. They've been kind of dancing back and forth with the Padres for the most strikeouts in the league against right-handed pitching. And while they've been actually fairly effective at actually putting runs on the board, Vegas doesn't mind the total here. And Martinez is just cheap. You know, $8,800 for a guy that not necessarily an ace day in, day out, but has ace-level stuff. And I do think, you know, his 9.5 Ks per nine translated against a team with a 25% K rate, we could see more than a strikeout per inning. And that's a lot to get for $8,800. And especially when you do want to be paying up for bats on a night where that Coors total is through the roof. Like right now it's 13. It's been going back and forth between 12.5 and 13. It's every dollar really matters. So I'm really liking Martinez here on DraftKings just for starting pitcher two purposes.
It's weird for today. This is the more than I can remember any other day is a day where really good pitchers are underdogs. So like Martinez is an underdog here against Jimmy Nelson. Maybe that's just a home and away thing. Nelson's been kind of decent this year. You know, like I said, Samardzija's an underdog. It's going to be very few times where you see guys of like this caliber. You know, sometimes they'll be close. They'll be like minus 115s, but they're still like getting the bump because it's like Carlos Martinez, and it's just unlikely that the guy across the aisle there is just going to be as good as him, or, you know, the team's going to be as good. But yeah, that's just the situation here. Another guy that kind of jumps out to me, I don't mind Jameis and Taillon. The Reds are one of these teams. You know, if you get them out of Cincinnati, their run expectation dips significantly. They don't strike out a ton, but they're just like not overall that great on offense, like very middle tier. Taillon, he's a guy, he's not an ace. You know, he came up like, I think he was like a number one draft pick. He came up as a guy like that was going to be, you know, a pretty big prospect. And he is a good pitcher, right around a K an inning right now, less than 3 walks per nine. The XFIP is in the mid threes. I don't mind him in the middle tier, mostly because I like the matchup, and he's getting, you know, as opposed to the two guys we just mentioned, Martinez and Samardzija, he actually is a favorite here in Pittsburgh. So, you know, do you think you can get on board with a guy like Taillon? He actually has one of the bigger money lines. He's up at minus 175 right now, which I think is, you know, after Scherzer, is probably the highest, or it's close. There's a couple other big, there's a couple other higher ones, but he's up there in that list.
Well, yeah, it just depends on what format you're playing and what your goals are. I will note with Taillon, just one of the most epically horrible starts his last time around, just because people might mention it, at San Francisco. 10 runs given up in 3 innings. That's tough to do. It's tough to be able to stay on the mound for that 10th run across the plate, but kudos for Jameson Taillon for getting that job done. That did actually damage his ERA and his reputation in the, if among casual players, I would imagine, just because that's quite the old boost to the ERA. But yeah, so the distinction I'd like to draw here is for cash game versus big tournament pitchers. And for Tyone, he strikes me as a better cash game play than a big tournament play, just because you are paying for the win expectation on some level. Like, his actual peripherals in terms of upside aren't as good as a guy like Martinez, but the security of the win and how much that matters is very significant. So I would just as soon almost ignore the chances for wins for big tournament purposes. Like I mentioned many other times in the past, it allows you also to go off chalk a little bit further because people generally don't like to play underdogs. But I'm a guy who's happy to play underdogs in big tournaments because, so again, someone's going to get the win, and one of the two starting pitchers are the most likely people to get that. And if I'm taking a guy who's good anyway, like Martinez, then obviously that can happen. So just pointing that out, that I think Tyone, that win safety matters more to me in cash games than it would in big tournaments.
One guy, actually, when he I mentioned him before, but I want to just kind of circle back to him, is Jimmy Nelson. So I'm wondering your thoughts here on Nelson's season so far. So Nelson, for his career, has been about an 8 strikeout per 9 guy. That's through about, you know, 500-plus innings with an xFIP somewhere like in the low 4s. This season, through 127 innings, he's up to 10 strikeouts per 9, has, I would say, greatly reduced his walk rate, and is now sitting at 315 xFIP. Like, he's borderline an excellent pitcher this season, which I kind of didn't realize. Sure. I knew he had been like kind of decent, but I just didn't realize like he had made this kind of jump into, this is like, these are jumping toward like ace level numbers, especially the Ks per nine and not having to walk too many guys. And it doesn't, like, his ERA is actually a little higher than the xFIP. So there's like, it's not like he's getting unlucky. He's just been a really, really good pitcher this year. Do you see this kind of thing for him as sustainable going forward? He is a favorite here. Cardinals have been just sort of a middle of the pack team. They struggled a lot with injuries this season, but do you see him as like a viable option? The matchup against Martinez isn't good, but his K rate is about as good as you'll see on this slate.
No, I think Nelson's legit on some level. I mean, he had better K numbers than he had in the majors when he was in the minors, which obviously isn't unusual. It's a bit more difficult to pitch in the majors than it is the minors, but he's a guy who flirted with double-digit K rates in AAA from time to time. And while it's surprising and probably unsustainable for him to jump right up to 10, I think you could probably pencil him in for a strikeout per inning going forward. And like, if you were just trying to find some sort of median projection. So, and again, the walk rate, people just do get better. You know, he's 28 years old. He hasn't been in the majors all too long. He's only got less than 600 major league innings. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to know that he was settling in as like a pitcher two, pitcher three type of guy, where in the past he was mostly filler.
For guys like him, I always like to look at the pitch FX stuff and just to see if there's been a marked change in his approach. And it looks to him like there has been. So he's
oh yeah,
greatly...
I was looking at that. What's the big change you saw?
He's throwing his fastball more and his slider less, and without like looking at how effective those pitches are, my guess, and like the changeup in I guess it's a slurve. I can't remember the identifier here. He's throwing his fastball more, and without looking exactly like how effective those pitches have been in the past, my guess is that the fastball is more of a bread and butter pitch than he had wanted to throw in the past. So he's throwing at 30% this year, only 24% and 25% the years past. 2014, he only threw at 15% of the time. So like, he just didn't throw it all. He just threw all, I can't remember what other pitches, and it's pissing me off because I don't know what this stands for. But anyway, like, whenever a guy has a change, like a pretty marked change like that, I think that there could be something to it. I'm with you. I don't think he ends up in like the 10 strikeout range like for the rest of his career, just because that's kind of rarefied air. But whenever you see a change and it seems to be working, you can guess that like he's just going to stick with it.
Yeah, that's a sinker, I think, is that he's throwing less, the two-seam fastball. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. It doesn't appear to me to be as dramatic a change as we've seen elsewhere. He has a slight velocity increase as well. But, you know, there's all sorts of different factors that can lead to pitching changes and performance changes. And, you know, we are maybe more qualified than some, but not as qualified as others when it comes to determining that stuff. I will say that on a strictly numbers basis, it would be hard for someone who's a true talent 7K per 9 guy, like he was last year, to all of a sudden strike out 10 over 127 innings. Like, that would be, you'd have to get so lucky that it's probably not even relevant. So the easy answer, although it's usually true too, is that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Just two other guys I want to mention here. They're the same price on FanDuel, and they... it's a kind of a situation where one's, I think, a better pitcher, but the other one's a better matchup. Aaron Nola and Jose Berrios. So Nola gets, he's a slight underdog here against the Angels and Ricky Nolasco. But he's been another guy that's been pretty, he's made sort of a like mini leap this season. I guess not a huge leap. He was pretty good last year. He's been pretty good. Then you get Jose Berrios, who's not been as good. but has a better matchup against San Diego. If you had to kind of flip, if you had to choose one of those two guys, I'm picking them out because they're in the same price range, and I just think that they're interesting for different reasons. Would you err more on the side of Nola, worse matchup, better pitcher, or the other way with Berrios, worse pitcher, but better matchup?
It's a classic big tournament cash game decision for me. Nola seems like an easy include for cash games. The Angels this season have been worse than the Padres in terms of WOBA, and it's a very forgiving park as well. So in that respect, they're very similar. But the Padres do strike out way more, too. And Berrios, he's less consistent than Nola, but arguably has better stuff, or at least that was the reputation coming up. So I think Berrios, a phenomenal cash game play. Petco also forgives a lot of his kind of young guy mistakes that he continues to make, whereas Nola, a little more polished, still plenty fine matchup with the Angels. And I would suspect he keeps them down pretty well. So I think both are fine plays. And, you know, again, it just speaks to the wealth of pitching on this slate here. But that's kind of where it breaks out for me.
Yeah, the it's such a crazy slate when, like, we don't even mention a guy like Marcus Stroman, who is a pretty heavy favorite here against the White Sox. I think that he runs into a little sort of an issue with his K numbers just aren't high enough, but he goes far into games. And if you get a team like the White Sox that do K a little bit more than your average team, well, the current incarnation of the White Sox lineup, right? Like, so I was looking at this yesterday. They, for the season, they weren't awful, but then they jettisoned one guy in Melky Cabrera who doesn't strike out at all and replaced him at the top of the lineup with guys like Saladino. Actually, Saladino doesn't strike out a ton either. But then, like, guys like Moncada, who got hurt yesterday, but then Willie Garcia strikes out a lot. Matt Davidson strikes out a ton. You're getting guys in the middle of the lineup that haven't been there the whole season that do strike out just, like, a lot. And so I think Stroman, in that case, increases his expectations some, but do you think he strikes enough guys out to, like, consider over some of these other guys? Like, he'll go far into games, but, like, the K numbers just aren't there.
Nah, probably not. I don't think I'd go as far as to call him an elite play, Doug, since we're listing so many pitchers tonight. But he's, like, a solid tier two play. I don't know. Like, there's just so many different options. We've named so many other ones that at some point you can be an okay option, but not make your way into my lineups, and I think he probably lands there for me.
And that's a guy like Archer here against Houston. It's like, okay, well, if I'm just looking for reasons to get, like, to not play guys, like, let me just find, like, facing teams that are among the best, and at least on offense. I know they're banged up, but I think that's one reason you can kind of forget about Archer. And then I said at the beginning, but some of these guys down the bottom of the list, CC's had some games in him. Patrick Corbin's actually been decent this year, though the Cubs aren't a great matchup. Even Dylan Bundy's shown flashes. So there's just, all this being said, I know I've said it a million times here, but
more secondary plays is what you're saying.
Yeah, completely secondary. I'm just saying, like, on shorter slates, we would actually probably consider some of these guys. I think here it's just there's almost an embarrassment of riches with pitching, and it's crystallized sort of at the top with those guys we mentioned there. But I think you're just going to see a huge game out of one of these guys. There's too many good arms here to, like, kind of just avoid a good game out of one of them. So I think that's going to be the most interesting thing that we have going here. All right, we're going to get into some stacks and bats that you can play with these guys, but hit us up with a sponsor.
I like how you stacks and bats. I mean, here we go with the cracks of the bats. The sponsor I'm going to drop for you today is a familiar one to you, hopefully, by now, which is FantasyFactor.com. The folks at Fantasy Factor are doing a great job providing smaller contests for players who want to play in more casual games, or at least up against more casual competition. It's great for players who play between, say, $5 and $50 a night, who want to go in and go up against players that don't put in 1,000 lineups a night, like Doug Norrie, who's going to come take your money like a monocled capitalist that he is. But you can go over there, play, basically, you could probably even play up to $100 a night without too much difficulty. You can use promo code DFSR and you'll get a 25% no drip deposit bonus. So if you deposit $100, you get $125 to play with right away without having to prove anything for it. So go check them out, fantasyfactor.com, salary cap games you're used to, and software that works.
Okay, so we have a bunch of good pitchers today. There are some bad ones going here for sure. The game we probably just need to start with and get out of the way is the game in Coors. So the Rockies and the Mets come into Denver here to face Jeff Hoffman. The Rockies gets the Steven Matz side of things. Is this a situation with so many just good pitchers lining up here? Is this a situation where you can actually just kind of go middle tier in some of these pitchers so you can grab as much of this game as possible? Like, does it make sense to try to stack this game, just considering we have some cheaper pitching options going?
I think it does. I mean, Vegas is looking for this one to be an absolute barn burner. You have two basically poor pitchers. You know, Hoffman obviously has the displeasure of having to pitch in Coors. So his 5x FIP, maybe not as meaningful as some other guys, but he hasn't been very good, you know, walking a decent amount of guys, 7.5 K per nine. And what really crushes him when he pitches at home is the 38% ground ball rate. He's going to leave balls up in the air, and that's going to give the opportunity for some of the Mets bats to really bruise him here. And then on the Mets side of the equation, Mats was looking pretty good basically into 2016 till he got hurt. He hasn't looked the same whatsoever since. His K rate's down over 2 per 9. The walk rate is maintained, but the home runs have skyrocketed as well. I think he just doesn't really know where it's going when he's up there. That doesn't seem to be pitching with any confidence right now. And going into Coors for a guy with a 1.7 home run per 9 rate with City as a home park is not a great sign. So I'd be happy to stack up on both sides of this equation about as much as possible.
Yeah, I'd probably lean a little more to the Colorado side here. He's going to have real problems in the middle of that lineup with LeMahieu, Arenado, and then Reynolds, just kind of 2-3-4. I mean, Blackman's been good, really good this year, too. So,
sure.
The top four in that lineup are going to give you problems. I mean, I guess Trevor Story down at the bottom, who is better against lefties, although he's really struggled to strike out this season. Cargo has struggled a lot this year. But all in all, the top four of that lineup look like they're in as good as a spot as really anybody on the slate is. The Mets guys are a little pricey. You know, they did the little Coors price correction on both sites, so paying like $4,700 for Conforto seems like a little bit of a stretch. Though like $3,800 for Cabrera and, I don't know, like Cespedes at $4,300, they're not like totally out. They haven't like totally outkicked their like pricing coverage here. And especially if they were to just flip their lineup around a little bit, like if you saw Neil Walker move at the second, or if they did something here to get a slightly cheaper bat into the lineup, I like that side. Though I do prefer the Colorado side, and I do think the system's actually, just because there's so many teams, you know, we're built a little bit here like on run lines in terms of our just projections, but because so many teams are just basically out of contention based on all the pitchers that we named before, and then you get a team that has, I don't know, a half a run plus more expectation than really just almost like the next closest team, it is going to want to just kind of defer to some of those bats and not want to pay as much for pitching, just because you're not going to be able to get, you're not just going to be able to find like a lot of cheap guys in good spots just because there's so many other good pitchers, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think that there's actually a decent, it's, you know, the disparity in great pitching with good matchups to terrible pitching against teams that can really hit is pretty wide today. So I wonder, on nights like tonight, do you feel like it winds up being that it's kind of hard to go too wrong and that increases variance? Or do you think that the good plays are just so good that you feel better overall?
You mean with pitching or with hitting?
On both sides.
I think here is you're going to probably just, a lot of people are just going to kind of not luck themselves into a good pitching performance. There's just going to be good pitching performances. It's not going to be luck. Like I'm saying good hitting performances too, though.
Like, I think they're going to get good pitching, but it's hard to get bad hitting today too with some of these other names going.
Yeah, no, there are some bad names. I guess the list isn't just like so long. Like you would typically see on a regular full slate of games, right?
Well, let me
like,
give you some other ones too. So, okay. Also pitching tonight are Homer Bailey, Mike Pelfrey, Nick Martinez, Erasmo Ramirez. Like, you don't need to play guys from 15 different games. Like, that's a pretty considerable list.
No, I'm with you. I think it'll be concentrated. What I'm saying is that I think it will be a slightly more concentrated on Colorado tonight than it would be on a full slate and for cash game purposes, right? Just because their expectation is significantly higher than most other teams. That's all I meant.
I wonder if people are going to pay up for pitching and talk themselves in, especially Scherzer and Sale on FanDuel. They're not out of this world expensive at 11.4 and 11.5 respectively. I bet you see people pay up and dip down into some of these lesser bat situations.
It could be, and I don't think our system's going to go there, but it doesn't strike me as wrong. I don't like. I'm not loving this league just because there's so many. I don't like when there's so many options like this, because I think that gives bad DFS players a better chance to just be okay, right? Like, I don't like situations like that.
Eventually answering my question. Thanks, man.
Probably is that really what you
yeah,
asked?
Yeah, that's what I asked you 5 minutes ago.
Okay, sorry, I don't really. I kind of like just half listen while I'm looking at other things, and then like I hope that like then I kind of just like start talking and hope that I get there. And this time it just took a few more rounds.
Still friends.
To finally get to the answer. All right, of the pitchers that you named, the bad ones, the Pelfreys and the Erasmo Ramirez of the world, is there a team that kind of stands out to you facing those guys that you want to target here?
Well, you know, listeners of the podcast will know that I tend to target teams based on the opposing pitcher as much as I do the players, with the reasoning that, you know, if you're just a hitter in the major leagues, you can probably hit a home run against a guy like Mike Pelfrey. And I think he's a pretty reasonable place to start, like he is most nights. Big Pelf, as we lovingly call him, has been bad again this season. I mean, he has added 1.7 Ks per nine to his K rate, and that's brought him up to 5.9 Ks per nine, so, which is to say he's still terrible. The home run to fly ball rate is still through the roof. The xFIP is the highest it's ever been. It's at 5.4 now, so and that's mostly on the back of his walk rate touching all-time highs of 4.41. So the Blue Jays, well-known for their hitting ability by now, although it's kind of fluctuated this season, I have to think that quality of major league hitter, I'm looking at you, Jose Bautista, can do some real damage against Pelfrey. So that's a great place to start for me for big tournaments, especially given that I think some people have what I would deem to be kind of unreasonable fatigue with some of the big-name Blue Jays.
So here's my only issue. I'm totally with you on Pelfrey and that he stinks. Now, the one issue I would say with Pelfrey is that I'm going to caveat this all by saying he's bad. He's significantly worse versus lefty bats this season and for his career. Like, he's epically, unbelievably bad against lefties. He's merely bad / slightly below average against righties, at least for this season. So this season, he has a 4.54 xFIP against righties. He has a 6.37 xFIP versus lefties, right? He's just getting completely crushed. Does it worry you that the Blue Jays are primarily right-handed? So, like, they go Bautista, Martin, Donaldson, and then both Smoke and Kendrys Morales are switch hitters, though I think that the both of them are better against lefties for their career. I can't remember off the top of my head. Maybe not Smoke. But does it worry you at all that a lot of Pelfrey's badness has been against lefty bats that the Blue Jays just do not feature at the top of the lineup?
No, not really. I think that looking at this season numbers, I think might be a little bit misleading for Pelfrey. He's had such a long track record of being terrible. And this year he's done the classic, like, try to trade more walks for more strikeouts, except when you start from four strikeouts, there's not really much room to climb. So, yeah, he's been more effective against right-handed pitching, but I can't rip my hair out with a guy like Pelfrey. I just think he's so bad in general. And even a 4 or 5 xFIP is pretty poor. And again, we're talking for big tournaments. Although for cash games, it's probably fine too for a guy that doesn't strike anyone out. So, while obviously it's not ideal, I'd always rather take a guy in his worst side of his platoon. Pelfrey, it's not like Clayton Kershaw or something where he's just going to destroy righties. He's just merely bad, and that's fine.
4.2 xFIP for his career against righties, 5 against lefties. I do think there's something there that, like, he gets absolutely destroyed by the side of the plate that the Blue Jays just don't feature as much. That's my only concern with, like, stacking, like, all the Blue Jays tonight against Pelfrey, which, you know, typically seems correct. But I do worry a little bit that he has a pretty extreme he does have a pretty extreme platoon split. So after the Blue Jays, though, other teams that we can kind of target here.
Yeah, I like both sides of the Nick Mart, Erasmo Ramirez game. So that's Seattle, Texas. That line's been bet up now, so it's the over-under there is 11. You have two conventionally terrible pitchers pitching against one another, and it just looks like a great spot to me. You know, neither Texas nor Seattle has really lit the world on fire with the bats this season necessarily, but again, if we're just trying to look at pitchers who have absolutely no business being in the major leagues, Nick Martinez has to continue to top that list. After backing up last season's unfathomable campaign where he had 3.7 Ks per nine and 4.4 walks per nine, he has righted the ship and that he's up to 4.8 Ks per nine, but the guy's total garbage. No offense, Nick Martinez. Congratulations, by the way, on just making a ton of money somehow pitching and professionally in the major leagues, but you don't belong there, buddy.
Does it spook you at all that the Seattle run line is, like, low, considering that Martinez is on the mound? So it's a good park in Texas, right? They have some bats in the top of that lineup, but their implied runs right now for our thing is, like, 4.5.
It's been bet up from where it was this morning, so it's up to, like, 5.5 now.
It is for Seattle, the Seattle side of the ball?
That line jumped up a whole run.
Oh, okay. I didn't even
see
that.
Seattle went back towards the middle. So, yeah, the line, it opened at 10 with Seattle at plus 30. Now it's 11 and Seattle's plus 105. So,
gotcha. I did not see that change. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
That's what you're keeping me around, buddy, to stay on top of the odds and that kind of thing. That's kind of like my role here at DFSR. So it's like one of those things like in the old tribes. You know, some people do the hunting, some people skin the deer, and that's how the DFSR animal keeps moving on.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to any of that stupid analogy, but, like, I do get whenever I see things like this happen, I'm like, how many sharps were just, like, jogging down some, like, Vegas felted hallway, like from their hotel room, like when they saw the line coming, they're like, 10 Nick Martinez versus Erasmo Ramirez, and, like, just didn't even have time to put their shoes on and just kind of slowly started jogging toward the sports book to make sure they could get in there. It just felt like, I don't know, a herd of animals just running down
there. And they're like, I'd like to place a bet. And they're like, how big? And he's like, all of it? What number is good for you?
I think you made a mistake. Like, maybe it was, like, left over or something from last night. I don't think you saw who was pitching.
Like, that's somebody hardwired a column here. It's an update
automatically. Then we got a couple other bad names here going here. Like, Homer Bailey faces against the Pirates. They're another one that kind of do a little bit more righty-on-righty crime. But they're Bailey's just kind of been bad this season. So I don't mind stacking some Pirates here. I wish they, again, I wish they had a few more lefty bats. They just kind of don't. Like, Marte at the top and McCutcheon at the top. But and don't really have, I guess Josh Bell is a lefty bat in the middle of the lineup with some power. Ballpark, not great, but Bailey hasn't been great either. He's had some epically horrible games. He had like one kind of okay game, and he's been basically just, I mean, he hasn't been as bad as the 8 ERA would suggest, because that is like...
That would be tough. It would be tough to be that bad.
Enjoy the rest of your career coaching high school baseball, because you need to go do something else. But he's still been very bad with a 5X FIP. I don't mind the Pirates here. I don't love the park. I like when they're, you know, Texas, I mean, obviously Colorado. Those are places that are great to hit. Pittsburgh is just not. So that's the only thing that kind of has me a little down on that matchup. I do prefer the teams that we mentioned before.
Yeah, some level it's rich people problems. Like but you can have those kind of problems tonight. Like, there's just a smorgasbord of excellent pitching, incredible bat situations. Like, it's just it's like almost like fan mode on Draft Pot Rip, that where you could just get any player you want in any position. Like, it's going to be hard to pick ultimately who winds up in these lineups. It might just be a good night to run like the top 20 lineups for cash games and kind of not worry about it, because I suspect that those things will come out in the wash. Like, some lineups will just be like, Coors guys plus the Seattle guys. Some will be Coors guys plus Texas or Pittsburgh or whoever. And probably doesn't make sense, given how close it all is, to really put all your eggs in any one basket.
No, I think that makes total sense to me. And on that note, we're going to get out of here from dfsr.com. /MLB will get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Optimal lineups for major MLB, DraftKings, and FanDuel. Football right around the corner, which I can't even believe. Basketball right after that, all under one subscription package. So you're all good to go. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, back again tomorrow talking more baseball. Enjoy all of the good pitching tonight.